Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're pulling a fascinating old case off the legal history shelf, Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe Railroad Company v. Stanford from 1871. Mm-mm. Now, you might be thinking, a 19th century railroad case, what's so interesting about that? But trust me, for you, our listener, diving into the world of law, this story of a train fire in Kansas holds some, well, surprisingly relevant lessons about the boundaries of responsibility for the consequences of our actions, even when those consequences seem pretty far removed.
That's right. On the surface, it's about a fire started by a train. But at its core, as you'll see, this case grapples with a fundamental legal question. Just how far does responsibility extend?
Right.
Imagine sparks from a locomotive igniting a blaze that then spreads not just next door, but for miles, ultimately damaging someone's property 4 miles away. That's the puzzle we're unpacking for you today. How can a railroad be held accountable for damage so geographically distant from the initial spark? It really makes you think about the reach of negligence.
Okay, let's set the scene. Picture 1871 Kansas. It's dry, the prairie grasses are like tinder, and a train from the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe Railroad is chugging along.
Right. Dry conditions are key here.
Exactly. Now, this wasn't some contained little incident. Sparks fly from the engine, as they often did in those days, and they managed to ignite not one, but two separate fires.
Fires, wow.
Yeah, and these fires, unfortunately for everyone in their path, decide to join forces. They merge into a pretty significant blaze and then proceed to travel across the prairie. And when we say travel, we mean it. This firestorm raged for about 4 miles. Can you imagine the scale of that?
Absolutely. 4 miles is a huge distance for a fire like that. And the result of this 4-mile journey was extensive damage. We're talking about crops being destroyed, livestock lost, and various properties taking a hit.
Mm.
Crucially for our case, this included the land belonging to a Mr. Stanford. So he understandably sought legal recourse and sued the railroad company to recover his losses. For a law student, this immediately raises the question of what legal ground Stanford would have to stand on given the distance.
Now, you'd think if your train started a fire that burned down someone's farm miles away, the liability would be pretty clear-cut. But the railroad, as you might expect, had a few arguments up its sleeve, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
They weren't just going to roll over and accept responsibility.
No, they certainly weren't. Their primary defense, and this is key for understanding the legal maneuvering, revolved around the idea that the damage to Stanford's property was simply too remote from the initial sparks.
Remote, okay.
Now, remote, in a legal sense, isn't just about distance, as you'll appreciate. It also implies that the chain of events becomes too convoluted, or that new, unexpected factors intervened.
Right, like a break in the chain.
Exactly. The railroad was arguing that the 4 miles provided enough opportunity for such intervening factors, changes in wind, different types of vegetation, perhaps even other potential ignition sources along the way. Interestingly, they even tried to muddy the waters by suggesting the fire wasn't necessarily caused by a specific engine, engine number 9, which they seemed to think might have had some sort of alibi. The classic tactic could create doubt about the initial cause.
The old, it wasn't our fault, and even if it was, it wasn't that specific instance of our fault defense. Classic legal strategy. So for you, our listener, how did Stanford even begin to argue his case if he wasn't sure which exact train caused the problem? It seems like a significant hurdle.
It is, and that's where a really important legal concept comes into play that you'll encounter frequently. Prima facie negligence.
Okay, prima facie.
Stanford didn't have to pinpoint which specific engine emitted the exact spark. Instead, he just had to demonstrate that the fire originated due to the railroad's operations under conditions where, generally, properly functioning and managed trains don't usually start fires.
So the circumstances themselves suggested negligence.
Precisely. The court essentially said, look, if a fire starts right after a train goes by in dry conditions, there's a reasonable inference that the train's operation was negligent. This shifted the burden of proof onto the railroad.
Okay. Burden shift.
Right. They then had to actively prove that they weren't negligent, that their engines were well-maintained and carefully operated. And in this case, the jury didn't find their evidence convincing, partly because the wind patterns didn't quite align with their engine number 9 theory. So, see, even without pinpointing the exact culprit, the circumstances themselves could suggest negligence.
So the core of the legal battle boils down to this. Was the railroad responsible for damage so far removed from where the fire started? That 4-mile distance still seems like a significant point for them to argue remoteness. It's the kind of detail that could sway a jury, you'd think.
Absolutely. That distance was the crux of their defense. They were essentially saying that the chain of causation was broken by the sheer geographical separation. This brings us to the crucial legal principle of proximate cause.
Proximate cause, right. We hear that a lot.
Exactly. The defense was arguing that the distance made the damage too remote to be considered a direct consequence of their actions. For any law student, this is a foundational concept. The link between the negligent act and the resulting harm must be sufficiently direct, not too attenuated.
Okay, so how did the Kansas Supreme Court tackle this idea of remoteness and proximate cause? They didn't just say 4 miles is too far, case dismissed,
you
right?
You can hide a law.
That would be a pretty unsatisfying legal conclusion.
Far from it. The court, in its wisdom, rejected this argument. They reasoned that starting fires near dry prairie land was an inherently dangerous activity, and the risk of those fires spreading was a natural and foreseeable consequence of operating steam locomotives in such conditions.
Foreseeable.
So the key insight here for you, our listener, isn't just about how close the fire was, but about whether the railroad should have seen the type of damage fire spreading as a likely result of their train operating in those dry conditions. That principle of foreseeable harm is what makes this case so enduring.
So it came down to what the railroad should have anticipated. The idea that sparks plus dry grass equals fire spreading. It seems almost obvious when you put it that way, but the legal nuances are clearly more complex.
Precisely. And the court emphasized the concept of continuous proximate cause.
Continuous proximate cause.
They saw the initial negligent act, the emission of sparks, as setting in motion an unbroken chain of events that led directly to the damage on Stanford's property. The fire burned continuously. There were no new independent causes that intervened to break that chain.
Nothing broke the chain.
Correct. The initial negligence was deemed the first efficient cause of the entire sequence. It's almost like a legal domino effect, isn't it? One spark setting off this whole chain of events.
And the court had a pretty powerful way of putting this, didn't it? Something about not letting distance shield responsibility. That quote really sticks with you.
Yes. Justice Valentine, writing for the court, penned a really impactful statement. Why should not every person, whether far away or near, recover for losses sustained by another's wrongful acts?
Wow.
This quote really gets to the heart of the matter. The court was saying that the fundamental principle of justice is that if someone's negligence directly causes you harm, the distance between you shouldn't automatically absolve them of responsibility. For a future lawyer, this speaks volumes about the underlying principles of fairness in tort law.
That's a pretty strong stance. It sounds like they were actively pushing back against the idea of drawing arbitrary lines on a map to limit liability. It's about the principle, not just the geography.
Exactly. They essentially said, if we were to hold the railroad liable for fire damage 30 rods away, what logical reason is there to suddenly draw a line and say 4 miles is too far, especially if the fire burned continuously the entire way?
Right. Where do you draw the line?
Exactly. They refused to create some kind of arbitrary geographical limit on liability. The focus remained on the unbroken chain of causation stemming from the initial negligent act. And as you're learning, the law often resists arbitrary distinctions.
That makes sense. It's not about how far the harm travels, but whether it's a direct and foreseeable consequence of the initial mistake. But what about the specifics of the damage? Did the court expect the railroad to foresee that the fire would burn exactly 4 miles and destroy exactly what it did? That seems like an impossible level of prediction.
That's a crucial distinction to understand, yeah. The court clarified that the foreseeability requirement focused on the type of harm that could reasonably be expected in this case, fire damage to property.
Okay, the type of harm.
Right. They didn't require the railroad to have predicted the precise extent of the damage or the exact locations it would reach. The fact that fire damage was a foreseeable type of harm, given the conditions and the operation of a steam engine, was sufficient.
So they didn't need a crystal ball for the exact outcome.
No. So while they didn't need to foresee Stanford's specific barn burning down 4 miles away, they should have foreseen that operating a steam engine in dry prairie conditions could lead to fires that damage nearby property. That was the key.
Okay, so this 1871 case about a runaway fire in Kansas. Why should we, in the 21st century, still care about it? For you, our aspiring legal minds, what's the lasting impact of Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe Railroad Company v. Stanford?
Well, this case remains a cornerstone in understanding the legal principle of proximate cause in negligence law. Courts still refer to it when grappling with situations where the consequences of a negligent act are widespread or occur at a distance.
Like what kind of modern situations?
Think about modern scenarios like environmental pollution that can spread across vast areas, affecting numerous individuals and properties.
Ah, right, like oil spills or chemical leaks.
Exactly. The principles laid out in Stanford about foreseeability and the continuous chain of causation are still highly relevant in determining liability in such complex cases. It's a foundational case that helps define the scope of responsibility in tort law.
So it's not just about trains and fires anymore. This case helped shape how we think about responsibility for all sorts of actions that can have far-reaching consequences. It's a principle that underpins a lot of modern legal thinking.
Precisely. It also had a direct impact on the railroad industry itself.
Yeah.
You know, cases like Stanford likely contributed to the increased focus on railroad safety standards and the development of technologies to prevent sparks and subsequent fires.
Makes sense. Liability drives safety.
Absolutely. When companies are held financially responsible for the damage their negligence causes, they have a strong incentive to take preventative measures. So the seemingly old case has real-world consequences, even beyond the specific legal principle it established.
So the big takeaway here isn't about the specifics of 19th-century train technology. It's about this fundamental idea that proximate cause isn't some arbitrary measurement of physical distance.
Right.
It's about whether the harm was a foreseeable result of a negligent act and whether there was an unbroken chain of events linking the two. For you, our listener, this is a crucial concept to grasp as you continue your legal studies.
Exactly. Your negligence can have consequences that extend far beyond your immediate vicinity. And the law, as demonstrated in Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe Railroad Company, Stanford, recognizes that.
So, to sum up for you, our listener, even consequences that seem geographically distant can still lead to legal liability if they are a foreseeable outcome of an initial act of negligence. The Stanford case is a powerful reminder that the law looks beyond just the map and focuses on the chain of events that unfold. It's a lesson that remains highly relevant in our interconnected world.
It leaves us with a thought for today's world, doesn't it? Consider how this principle might apply now in our incredibly interconnected society, where actions in one place can have ripple effects across vast distances and complex systems.
Hmm.
What are the fires, so to speak, that we might be starting today? Perhaps not with train sparks, but with other forms of actions or inactions, the potential consequences of which we haven't fully considered. It's a question that challenges us to think critically about the scope of our responsibilities.
Some serious food for thought for all of us, especially those of you heading into the legal profession. Thanks for diving deep with us today. Until next time.